Congratulations. The mailroom job is yours.
Thank you, sir. With this job, I'll finally be happy with the money I'm making.
The Bible says, whoever loves money never has enough.
I hear Dan is leaving management. Are you going to go for his job?
Supervisor? Oh, I don't know. Supervisor. A raise. I'd finally be happy with the money I'd be making. I could buy a bigger house.
It says whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with his income.
Bob, I'm going to be retiring. I'd like for you to consider taking my place as vice president.
Thank you, Bill. I'll definitely think about it. Wow. Vice president. Six-digit income. No more worries.
Only with God can we have peace. Without Him, we will never be content.
Mail's here, sir.
Just set it over there on the table. Ah, the old mail room. No decisions, no pressures, no hassles. If only I had a job like that.
A reminder brought to you by Fortress Church. Feel free to check us out on the web at fortresschurch.org. A woman has recently experienced a divorce. Her husband is no longer with her. She's got to find a job, support herself and her kids on her own. She fears what is ahead on this journey, but she makes a decision to move on. She keeps her eyes on the prize and is now making forward progress. An elderly man is told by his doctor that he is dying. At first, he fears death, not too sure about where he will spend eternity. But then he decides to put his faith in the Lord. He places his eyes on the prize and is now making forward progress with God. A middle-aged woman is having a hard time with life. She has fallen into a deep depression. She is embarrassed to tell anyone, afraid of what people might say. But now she receives the gift of the Spirit of God, and just something miraculous comes over her. She rejoices in the new life that she has with the Lord God Almighty. She puts her eyes on the prize, and now she is making forward progress.
Welcome to Rising Higher, the radio ministry sponsored by Fortress Church in San Antonio, Texas. We are located at 7760 Prue Road, between Bandera Road and Babcock Road. We meet for worship on Sundays at 9:15 a.m. and 11 o'clock a.m. We invite you to visit our website at www.fortresschurch.org. At Fortress Church, we are all about loving God and loving people. Join us here on KDRI every Monday through Friday at 5:30 p.m. and on Saturday mornings at 8:30 a.m. And now, here's your host for Rising Higher, Pastor Randy Garcia.
Well, on day six of the ill-fated mission of Apollo 13, the astronauts needed to make a critical course correction. If they failed, they might never return to Earth. To conserve power, they shut down the onboard computer that steered the craft. Yet the astronauts needed to conduct a 39-second burn of the main engines. How to steer? Astronaut Jim Lovell determined that if he would keep his eyes on a fixed point in space, in right through the tiny window, that they could indeed steer the craft manually. That focal point turned out to be their destination, Earth. And as it is shown in the 1995 hit movie Apollo 13, for 39 agonizing seconds, Lovell focused on keeping the Earth in view. By not losing sight of that reference point, the three astronauts avoided disaster. Kind of reminds me of what the Bible says in Hebrews 12, verse 2. It says, "Fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith." Today, I want to encourage you to keep your eyes on the prize. Thank you for tuning in to Rising Higher, brought to you by Fortress Church. Today, we continue our sermon series, Forward Progress. For Jim Lovell and the other astronauts on Apollo 13, they had a choice to make, and they made the right choice to fix their eyes on Earth because that was their destination. And today, you and I have a choice to make. Maybe there's been some challenging situations that you've been having to deal with or that I've been having to deal with. One of the things that I've learned is as long as I keep my eyes on Jesus, I'm going to be just all right. I'm going to be just all right. Paul puts it this way. I want to look at Philippians chapter 3, beginning with verse number 12. He says, "Not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on." Ooh, I love that. "But I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. I love this passage because it helps me focus on what is ahead. It helps me release all the things that have gone on in the past, the good, the bad, and the ugly, you know what I'm talking about, and move forward. That's what you and I are called to do in the world today. Here we find ourselves in the summer of 2020 dealing with so much junk, I'm going to say, that's happened in our world, especially this year, especially this summer, as we've been dealing with this pandemic. But my question for you today is this. In the midst of all that's going on around us, are you making forward progress when it comes to your spiritual life? Well, I want to learn some lessons here, what Paul's talking about here in Philippians 3, when he says, let's keep our eyes on the prize. Let's keep our eyes on the prize. So I want to relate to you four lessons that I've learned, and I hope that we can learn them together about keeping our eyes on the prize. First of all, observation number one is this. Keeping our eyes on the prize is a realization that we haven't arrived. It helps us realize we haven't arrived. Paul says this in verse 12. Once again, we're in Philippians 3. Not that I've already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal. In other words, I'm not there yet. There's some living to do. God's not done with me yet. It may be a new season in my life, but I'm going to keep my eyes on the prize because I've not arrived yet. Reminds me of a newly appointed army colonel who was sitting at his new desk in his new office when someone knocked on the door and said, "This is Private Johnson. May I see you, sir?" Well, this army colonel in his new office, in his new desk, wanted to impress the private. The colonel picked up the phone and acted like he was on a very important phone call. He said to the phone, he says, "Yes, Mr. President. I understand, Mr. President." Of course, he really wasn't talking to Mr. President, right? The colonel said, "Mr. President, give me 1 second." And then he asked the private, "What can I do for you?" Private Johnson says this, "Well, I came in to connect your telephone." Okay. Yeah, I think sometimes we realize that we think a little too much of ourselves. But the point is this, Paul said it, and so do I. We haven't arrived yet. No, there's lessons to learn still. There's lives that we need to touch. There's ministry that needs to happen. There's spiritual growth that is still yet to be done. We haven't arrived yet. Do you know your purpose? My friend Cindy says this, "My purpose in life is to walk this journey as a faithful servant of Christ. My purpose in life is to lead and grow disciples for Him. It is also to speak words of life in every situation and to extend grace as He lovingly extends it to us." Oh, that's great. I like to ask people to give me their purpose statement. That was Cindy's. Here's Rob's. Rob says this, "My purpose in life is to serve God and my family, to teach my children what I have learned in church and pass it on to them, to be an example, a spiritual leader in my household, and do the best I possibly can at that job that God has chosen for me." I love that. Life lesson, progress begins at the end of your comfort zone. Think about that. Lesson number two, we're looking at how can we keep our eyes on the prize and make forward progress. Number one was this, we got to realize that we haven't arrived yet, okay? Secondly is this, vision is what we can look ahead to. When we have vision, what we're doing is we're literally looking ahead. Paul says this in the second half of verse 13 here in Philippians 3. He says, "Forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead." You see, sometimes we need a GPS. And I'm not talking about a global positioning system. I'm talking about a godly positioning system. See, if you focus on what you left behind, you will not be able to see the blessings that lie ahead. Think about that. Think about that. In 1809, Simon René Braille and his wife Monique welcomed their fourth child into the world, a lively boy named Louis. They lived in a small stone house near Paris where Braille was a local harness maker. Leather working tools are dangerous, so the toddler had been instructed not to go into his daddy's shop alone. So when Lewis was still small, he slipped into the shop. With curiosity, he started to handle all the fascinating tools. As Lewis was inspecting an awl, the sharp tool used to punch holes in leather, he slipped and punctured part of his eye with the tool. The injured eye became infected. The little boy couldn't keep his hands from rubbing and scratching the wound, and soon the infection spread to his other eye as well. Well, little Lewis was only 4 years old, and then he became completely blind. He was fortunate enough to study at the Royal Institution for the Blind Youth in Paris. He excelled as an organist, and at 12 years old, he began to ask the question, how can the blind read? Over his summer break at home, Lewis was determined to find an answer. As he moved and groped around his father's shop and searched for the right tool for the task, the awl presented itself as a perfect job. The awl would make the raised dots he had seen in the French military system of night riding. And with the very instrument that had blinded him, Lewis worked and worked until he created a system of dots whereby the blind could read and write, where they can work math problems and even compose music. So what is your awl? The thing that has crippled you, either by your own doing, like young Lewis, or someone else's? What is it that's maybe been negative and maybe you need to turn around for the good? Is it the death of someone you loved? Is it a divorce? Is it a lost career? I want to give you a great suggestion. Why don't you let God take it and use it in your life for the good, to reshape you and reshape those around you? Helen Keller once said this: the only thing worse than being blind is having no vision. Great quote. I want to thank you so much for tuning in to Rising Higher. Keep your eyes on the prize. That's what we're talking about here today. Thank you so much for tuning in to Rising Higher. We're not done yet. We are going to come back in just a few minutes, right after a quick little break, and just share a few more things, a few more lessons I know that I've learned about the importance of keeping my eyes on the prize and how, indeed, I can do that. Rising Higher is what you're listening to. Rising Higher is brought to you by Fortress Church, right here in San Antonio, the northwest part of San Antonio. Every Sunday, we gather together for worship. We're located at 7760 Prue Road. Now, we have worship nowadays as an option. You can do worship at our facilities on Prue Road in northwest San Antonio, or you're more than welcome to join us online for our live stream worship every Sunday at 9:15 and or 11 o'clock. Once again, fortresschurch.org is our website where you can connect with the Sunday live stream as well. I want to thank you so much for tuning in. Before we move on, got to tell you one more time about what's happening this Sunday. Now, last Sunday we did it, and this Sunday we're going to do it again. What are we talking about? Pray SA. Thousands of people gathered last Sunday evening. My wife and I were there. We were took our car and sat in the parking lot as we prayed together, worshiped together. It was a fantastic event. We loved it. It was just fantastic. We had a great time in prayer, and just to see the body of Christ, the Christians from different churches, different skin colors, different denominations come together for the purpose of praying and seeking God. PraySA.org is a website. Last week, I had a chat with the organizer, Max Lucado, and Max was sharing these things as I was asking him questions about what the event's about, what can we expect, and Max was sharing this. Maybe this could encourage you to see what God is doing across the city of San Antonio, especially this Sunday evening.
But from the beginning, we said, if there's 2,000 cars, if there's two cars, that we're going to measure success in obedience.
There you go.
Not in turnout. We're just going to be obedient. And we're being upfront with people. Again, this is a prayer service. I'm going to be leading the prayer time. I'm not going to be speaking the whole time. I'll say, okay, let's spend some moments in prayer of thanksgiving. And from your car or with your family, you can offer prayers of thanksgiving. I might read some scriptures. We might have somebody else read some scriptures, but we'll just move from, you know, prayer segment to prayer segment. For we're envisioning in about an hour, maybe longer if the Lord leads, We do want to repent. We feel that that's an, you know, wherever there's never been revival without repentance.
That's right.
We think we need to corporately repent of racism, of division, of greed, of self-promotion. And so there's a long list of things that we're going to ask the Lord to forgive us for. But we know He's a good and gracious God.
Wow, that's a portion of my chat with Max Lucado, organizer of this great event. So it's not too late for you to jump in and join us this Sunday at 7 p.m. at the Freeman Coliseum. It's going to be a great event, and you can stay in your car for social distancing purposes, or you can watch it online at praysa.org. Once again, praysa.org.
This is Franklin Graham. No matter how difficult it may seem, there is hope and healing from a life of addiction. Jesus Christ changes lives every day.
I ended up in a homeless shelter at the age of 18, and my mom still cared for me, and she brought me money. The minute she left, I went out to go spend it on some drugs. I was just so lost and desperate, and I really didn't care much about living. I sent out an SOS to Teen Challenge, and within 5 minutes, they called me and told me that they had a bed ready for me. Now I have found my hope in what Jesus did for me on the cross. God rescued me. I'm so grateful, and it's so good to be alive.
Here in San Antonio, we are blessed to have both a men's Adult and Teen Challenge campus and a women's Adult and Teen Challenge campus for adults ages 18 to 50. Here's the number to call, 210-624-2075. Do you have a teenager who is dealing with self-destructive or dangerous behaviors? New Hope Christian Academy for Boys and Thrive Girls Ranch have campuses in the greater Austin area. Perhaps you would like to do what my wife and I do. We sponsor a Teen Challenge student. For only $35 per month, you can get a photo and a profile of your student and an invitation to their graduation. Here's a number to call, 1-866-913-4181, or log on to teenchallengetx.org.
Hi, this is Dallas Holm, and I just want to say thank you for listening to Rising Higher on KDRY.
I do want to thank you for tuning in to Rising Higher. Today we're looking at Philippians chapter 3, part of our sermon series, Forward Progress. Can we keep our eyes on the prize? Can we keep our eyes on the prize? And there's some lessons that Paul wants to teach us about going forward, making forward progress in our spiritual life, because there are obstacles. Yeah, we've talked about obstacles on Monday and then on Friday of last week. There are obstacles that we've got to deal with and overcome, and I believe we can, especially now in the summer of 2020 when we're dealing with so much around us, but we can make forward progress. So what are some lessons Paul teaches us here? We looked at this. Lesson number one is we have to realize that we haven't arrived yet. Now, when we say, I've got somewhere to go, I've got to keep my eyes on the prize, that means we're not done yet. God's not done with you yet. Secondly, we've got to have a vision to look forward to. We've got to focus on what is ahead of us, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Number three, I'm going to say this. We've got to strain toward what is ahead. What does that mean? We've got to strain toward what is ahead. That's what it says in verse 13, once again, Philippians 3. Paul says, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. The word straining here is actually comes from the Greek word epikateno, which means stretch forward. That's not easy. Now, I love the word straining because it correlates to the word stretch. My question is this, could it be that God has been stretching you during this time? Maybe you're doing things that you've never done before. Maybe you're progressing, you're growing in ways you've never experienced before, and God is doing some new things. Kind of reminds me of of all the lessons that many of us are learning. Me as a, I was going to say an older man, but maybe I could say more experienced. Huh? Like, let me put it that way. For me as a pastor, we had to switch gears back in March and say, okay, Lord, if we can't meet in our physical place, we're still going to be the church and we're going to meet online. And God was stretching us to have church online. God was stretching me to do that. God was stretching me to do Bible studies and prayer meetings online and Zoom. I learned a whole lot about all that. Could it be that God is stretching you as well? And that's what the word straining toward what is ahead. That's what Paul is saying here in Philippians 3:13. God is stretching you. He's stretching me. Sometimes we receive that. Sometimes we don't. Sometimes we don't want to move forward. Sometimes we don't want to make forward progress. Sometimes we want to stay in the old ways. A man, after 25 years with one company, was still doing the same old job, drawing the same old salary. Finally, he went to his boss and he told him that he felt that he was being neglected. After all, he said, I've had a quarter of a century of experience. My dear fellow, said his boss, you haven't had a quarter of a century of experience. You've had one experience for a quarter of a century. Oh, wow. In other words, he never pulled out of his rut. He never was growing. And that's the way a lot of Christians are. Well, I've been a Christian for 25 years. Well, maybe you've just, maybe you're just stuck in the experience you had 25 years ago. Just saying, okay, don't get mad at me, okay? But I'm encouraging you to make forward progress. That's what the sermon series is about. Forward progress. Could it be that there are many believers who've been believers for 25 years but not growing? What has God done for you to bring spiritual growth in your life this year, 2020? Some people say, wow, all that's happening. Sometimes we're pretty good at coming up with excuses, but they're just excuses. Oswald Chambers once said this, one step forward in obedience is worth years of studying about it. I like that. I love to spend time with my grandkids. Believe it or not, now Brenda and I have 9 grandchildren, all ages 6 and younger. But every time we babysit any of our grandchildren, I always take notice because they're small and they're growing. And I'm talking about physically and intellectually, emotionally. Almost every time I see them, they're different. And I love that because they're becoming young men, young ladies for the Lord, even at such a young age. And I think about, yeah, that's what God wants to do for you and I. As we don't, He doesn't want us to stay spiritual babies all the time. No, we've got to grow. We've got to grow. Here's a life lesson. If you find yourself being stretched and challenged in your spiritual life, it very well could be God who's doing the stretching. Okay, one more lesson. We're looking at Philippians chapter 3. What are some lessons that we can use to keep our eyes on the prize? Lesson number one is this. Understand that you haven't arrived yet. Nope. There's growth to happen. Understand you've got to have a vision to look forward to. And understand God is stretching you. God is calling you to strain toward the prize. Last of all, now let's look at verse 14 of Philippians 3. Let's press on. Let's press on. After we strain ahead, after we're stretched, what do? We press on. That's what Paul says. Verse 14, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Perhaps you've heard this phrase many times. The Christian life is more than talking the talk. It's about walking the walk. People, they're going to mistreat you. What do? You press on. People are going to let you down. What do? You press on. Life's not fair. What do? You press on. You press on. My heart goes out to what happened a couple months ago. Many seniors in college, seniors in high school, for example, were preparing to walk the stage as they graduate and finish their education, either at high school or college. But unfortunately, most of the commencement ceremonies were canceled because of COVID-19. And my heart went out to them because they didn't get an opportunity to walk the stage. You see, but one of the things it hit me, maybe they didn't physically walk the stage, but spiritually, these young men, these young ladies are ready for the next season of their life. Because spiritually, they were able to walk the stage and progress to the next season that God has waiting for them. Once again, maybe physically they didn't get a chance to do that, and I do feel bad because, oh, I love the physical experience where we get to see them walk the stage. But you see, God was preparing them spiritually, and the spiritual preparation is much greater than even the physical walking the stage. But it's time for each one of us to spiritually walk our stage and ask God to take us to where we need to be in the next season of our life. Are you ready to make forward progress? A middle-aged man was laid off from work. He's got to find a new career. He fears what is ahead of him, but he calls on God to give him the power to step into his new career. He fixes his eyes on the prize, and now he is making forward progress. A woman has recently experienced divorce. Her husband is no longer with her. She's got to find a job, support herself, support her kids. She fears what is next on her journey, but she makes a decision to move on. She keeps her eyes on the prize and is now making forward progress. An elderly man is told by his doctor that he is dying. He fears death. He's not too sure where he's going to spend eternity. So what does he do? He turns to God and he places his faith in the Lord. He sets his eyes on the prize and now he is making forward progress. A middle-aged woman is having a hard time with life. She's fallen into a depression. She is embarrassed to tell anybody about what she's dealing with, afraid of what they're going to say. But now she makes a decision to surrender her life to the Lord. She receives the presence of God, the presence of the Holy Spirit. And now with that power, she overcomes her depression. She places her eyes on the prize and makes forward progress. That's what you're called to do, despite all the junk that's going your way. Are you ready to make forward progress? Thank you for tuning in to Rising Higher. That's our sermon series last week, this week, and we're going to continue it actually tomorrow. Hope you can join us tomorrow as we continue the sermon series, Forward Progress. Thank you for tuning in to Rising Higher. You're more than welcome to check out the podcast of our broadcast. To tap into that, all you got to do is go to risinghigher.org. Rising Higher is brought to you by Fortress Church, and you can check out our Fortress Church webpage at fortresschurch.org. For right now, we're going to have to draw to a close. Thank you. Thank you so much for tuning in to Rising Higher. Join us tomorrow as we continue to learn lessons about how you and I can both make forward progress.